Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Stargazing with Star Fuentes. Star Fuentes is a master intuitive healer and spiritual teacher and has been a pioneering student of metaphysics for over 50 years. She has learned lifetimes of priceless information from her years of seeking out and living with indigenous healers and shamans around the world. Visit her website at www.starfuentes.com and then join her here every Wednesday night on Spiritual Connections Radio as she shares her knowledge with you. And now, Star Fuentes.
Welcome. This is Star. Tonight, after the half hour, we will be taking some questions. We will be confirming for you. We will be chatting with you. Our number is 646-716-9663. And today I'm very pleased to have with us Julie Caraccio. Julie, are you there?
I am. Thank you. Good evening.
All right. And Julie, you have a radio show also, and where is it and how can I find it?
It is reawakenyourbrilliance.com, and it's every Wednesday, same night at you, except we are switching to a new time this year to 4 p.m. in the afternoons. And I will begin going live again on January 15th, and again at reawakenyourbrilliance.com. People can find out all the good information, and it's a TV as well as radio show. So you can see or listen, whatever works best for you.
Oh, that sounds great. And how long have you been doing this?
I started in August of 2011, and what happened, someone had said to me, hey, you should do a show. And I thought, well, what could I do? You know, I love organizing and I love being green, but I thought there was a lot of stuff out there on that. And so I said, well, what interests you? And I thought, I've always been fascinated by body, mind, spirit, and self-improvement and making myself a better person. And so I meditated one day and heard Reawaken Your Brilliance, and I called Ann, my producer, up and said, okay, I've got the name. We can roll and go live. And so what I do is I'm excited, will be on the show in February, but I interview different body, mind, spirit experts. And what drives me and the goal of the show is to help people find whatever's going to work for them instead of walking around wounded in life, remembering their greatness inside and using that. And as we grow and help others, you know, and ourselves, then that in turn allows us to help others.
Well, you know, you really don't have it until you share it. You know, it's really not anchored into you till you teach it. So let's talk a little bit tonight about a million things, but let's start with clutter. And talk to me about your perspective on clutter.
You know, it's very interesting, Star. In 2009, I started my own business called Healing Through Organization, and I take a very holistic approach towards clutter because a lot of times when I go into someone's home, the clutter is really not about the clutter. There's an underlying emotion or fear or something else is going on, and you can literally feel it when you go into a home. And so what gets me excited to help people is kind of figure out, okay, this is what's going on with the clutter, because as you declutter the outside, it helps you declutter the inside and vice versa. And so, you know, there might be an event in the life, maybe you've gotten a divorce that allows clutter to come up. But again, there's kind of that emotional thing that's going on in a lot of times that leads to clutter. And I believe the more spiritual you get, especially, the less clutter you want. And I have yet to read a feng shui book that not the first thing they say is get rid of clutter. If you want to change your life, get rid of clutter.
Well, you know, I kind of see clutter as being whatever you're looking around in the room right now where you are, that is in your heart and that is in your mind. And if you can't figure out where you're going or what you're going to do, it will show up in your house. Mm-hmm. And if you can't find a mate, look at your bedroom, because that's exactly what's in your heart. So looking around at things and making sure that I'm clutter-free is very, very much a priority for me. Mm-hmm. And it's really important in my life. So what do you think happens when we get disorganized and confused? What do you think happens to our environment?
Well, I think that clutter, another aspect of clutter is it's stuck in stagnant energy. And so I think when you gather clutter, and again, there are, you know, different reasons. Maybe it's a fear of losing your creativity. A lot of people who are super creative are like, oh my gosh, no, I need a messy desk. Or it is, here's an example. I was working with a friend, and she only had one side of her room that was cluttered. And as we talked, we figured out she had a really awful neighbor. And she literally started to put up a physical barrier to keep this neighbor out. So there are a bunch of different reasons why it might happen. But I think it's important to get to the root of it. At least that's my personal belief. Because when you do that, then you're able to move forward with your life. And I remember reading once in a feng shui book, and this was before I became a professional organizer, and I had this light bulb moment. They said, you know, when you collect things, that you are collecting what you feel is missing from your life. And I had started to collect angels. I love angels. And I still have angels all over the house, but it's, you know, I haven't gotten an angel in a long, long time. But what I realized in that moment is I had started to collect angels out of fear and a need for love, and I had been date raped. And so it wasn't until a year or two afterwards that I had figured out that connection. So I would suggest to anyone that's listening, if you collect a lot of things, challenge yourself and see what you're trying to fill or what emotion you're trying to get through collections.
I just had a conversation with another spiritual master that was kind of mind-boggling for me. And she and I were talking, and she's doing Elegant Simple. She's going down to 200 personal possessions. Now, my dishes don't count. My silverware doesn't count. My computer, because it's utilitarian. My lights don't count. But between not my books here for the students, but between my personal journals, my clothes, and my jewelry, she's going down to 200 personal possessions. You know, and I look around at the books and the office stuff I have, and I can understand how that belongs to my business, and my mm-hmm. platters and my forks and knives and pots and pans. I can understand how those are communal. You know, when I look at my clothes and I look at my jewelry and I look at my 10, 15, 20 notebooks, all started out with some notes in them that never got translated onto my computer, I think that for me, 200 items sounded like, oh my God, I could never mm-hmm. have that little. And I'm going to look really deeply into this and pursue that vision to simplify and have, you know, that really good jacket and those really, really, that mm-hmm. really good pair of shoes and simplify to 200 possessions. What do you think about that?
I think that's impressive. And I'm laughing because my certification in inner world dialogue, and I don't know the exact name, I have the full certification, but my teacher, I just took her to Hawaii. She up and got rid of just about everything, put it down to 2 suitcases and 2 backpacks and got on a plane. And at first I was like, oh my gosh. And she didn't have a lot of stuff to begin with. And I'm like, oh, how could she do that? And oh my gosh, what would I get rid of? But at the same time, I was like, wow, she's free now. She is really and truly free because she was able to pare her life down to that amount and of items. And I think more power to you if you're able to do it. Again, my observation personally and professionally is the more spiritual you are, the more it just naturally begins to happen. You just don't want to be surrounded by clutter. When I work with people, I say, ask yourself, do I use it? Do I need it? Do I love it? And as you start to really ask those questions, if you're honest with yourself, you don't need a lot of stuff that you have. You know, do you need 50 pairs of shoes? You know, 7 pairs of sheets? There's a statistic, I'm kind of a nerd girl, and there is a statistic that I found recently that the average American credit card debt's over $15,000, yet people have around $7,000 of stuff just collecting dust that they never use. So,
wow. You know,
yeah.
That's really interesting to notice that. You know, I'm very anal retentive, and I'm a healer. So my floors are impeccable. Anytime, every second or third healing, I run around with the vacuum or tell somebody to vacuum up my floors. And I believe that if I leave a gob of lint on my floor and it's rolling around there, that I'll leave a cancer cell in your body if I'm not, you know, paying attention. So I keep my floors, like, impeccable and my rooms impeccable, because when I go into your body as a healer, I want to find every cell that doesn't belong there. And I want to use the universal law, as above, so below, or as inside, you know, so outside. And I'm pretty adamant about picking that stuff up. And I've noticed, like, I've had a seminar of 50 spiritual people. Somebody blew their nose and threw a rag, their little Kleenex, out front of the atrium. And the only person that picked it up was some little kid and threw it in the trash. And here are these people walking out and stepping over it. And I wonder, you know, when I pick up other people's trash and stuff, I wonder what I'm going to perceive and pick up in my life, because I'm perceiving what's going on in the outside world. I see that you have a wide variety of topics on your show, and that you're educated in many, many mental, emotional areas. What are the things you like to talk about?
I'm truly open to anything, Star. What really has started to drive me is that I ask the people with the highest integrity that I meet them, or that they're led to me, and that those truly who come from a consciousness level and want to help others, because I have learned that those are truly people that I want to help promote and help to reach people. It has been amazing to me what I've learned. I think, oh, I thought I knew so much, and I'm like, wow, there's so much out there for you to learn. I'm especially fascinated at the moment with how we can heal ourselves and all the alternative medicines out there. I'm currently have some health issues, and I'm really fortunate here in Raleigh, the quantum neurologist, and I had him on the show, and it fascinated me. Like, he was just, when I saw him the other day, he said, and so I'm going to do a detox to get rid of all the toxins in my body. I hadn't been eating too well. And he said, he did some muscle testing. He said, well, you know, your saliva actually doesn't matter what you're eating, because your saliva, everything's off, and it's almost poisoning what you eat. So that's something I would have never known, you know, that was going on unless I had seen him. Also, I like to read books. You know, if someone has written a book that is interesting. I'm having someone come on the show. I just finished the book, and they, in the 60s, went and explored Costa Rica and the shamanism and the aspect of the spirits in the forest of the indigenous cultures was very interesting to me. This is something, a world that I didn't know anything about. So I really am open to anything and anyone, and I encourage people, if there's someone you want to hear or, you know, have me interview, I will ask anyone. I've been turned down, but a lot of times people have said yes, so I'm game for just about anyone.
Well, one of the places I want to go with you is you said you're interested in learning about healing yourself. And there's a place that a lot of the shamans, you know, having studied in Africa, worked with a Beaufort doctor in China, studied in South America, been in a couple of ashrams in India. One of the very first things that comes to my mind is, if you can name it, you can heal it. And that's like being responsible that you created this disease. If you say, oh, it's in my genes, I don't have enough money to eat good, if you put the responsibility anywhere outside of yourself, then you're not going to have a 900% complete healing. So just like when we go into AA, my name is Star and I'm an adult child of alcoholics, when we say that statement that you have a disease, that that something is not working well in your body, that you can heal it. And for me, the other thing I learned from the shamans is something in the area of what you resist persists. And sometimes people will talk to me about how bad their mother was, their husband, their this, and you won't hear a word about their father. And you know that the issue is a father issue because it's the only thing they didn't complain about. And people will come and say, well, I'm eating this, I'm breathing that, I'm reading this. And I kind of listen for what they don't talk about. And that is a place to look into yourself when you're mm-hmm. doing your own healing, is what are you resisting?
And absolutely.
And it's so many, many shamans do it in so many different ways, you know, with smoke, with the fire, with the water. They look for those spaces and places where we're pushing things back instead of letting them go through us. I remember I was in China walking with a barefoot doctor, and of course I was there a couple of weeks, and I got horrific diarrhea, horrific diarrhea. I'm having diarrhea, and I'm like to the barefoot doctor, I got diarrhea, give me something to stop this. And he goes, no, Star, go through the full cycle. You Americans, you get a little bit of a cold and you stop it. You get a little bit of diarrhea and you stop it. You get a headache and you stop it. And then when it comes back as a stronger disease or discomfort. He goes, go, you know, diarrhea, good, go diarrhea. And I thought about that, how when we get just a little bit of something, how we medicate here. And instead of letting whatever energy needs to come out, whether it be phlegm or whatever needs to come out of our body, we take a pill to stop it.
You're 1,000% right.
And we need to complete those cycles. So...
But I also think that really relates to clutter, too, because it's the same concept. Whatever's going on inside of you is going to be shown in your environment, and you create your reality. So if there's chaos in your life, it's going to be reflected in your physical environment.
Well, I teach a weekend called Mate Magnet Weekend, or the Wild Mate Magnet, or something like that weekend, or Magic Mate Magnet. And I tell the people, I ask them, what's on the other side of your bed? And 80% of the women have a computer, a stuffed animal, a cat, clothing, or books in their mate space. And they say, well, Star, I'm never meeting anybody. Well, you're going to bed, and on the other side of your bed, your cat. On the other side of your bed is a stack of books or your laptop. On the other side of your bed is a stupid stuffed animal. And in your mate space, these things are taking up your mate space. You don't have space to bring anybody into your life. Mm-hmm. And they look at me and they go, wow, yeah, my cat slept there for 10 years and it's been 10 years since I've had a date. So
right.
keeping that mate space, you know, always have just a little room for somebody to hang just a little bit of something up in your closet
mm-hmm.
and a little bit of shelf on the bathroom. So somebody was to come spend time with you, you have space for them in your life. And people look at me and they say, wow, that's the strangest thing I've ever heard of. But it's really important to understand that what is ever in your space is in your heart and in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
So if, yeah, you know.
I have a client, this made me so happy. She hadn't had anyone in her home in years, and she's very overweight. And I said, all right, well, we're just going to take it one step at a time. And for Christmas Eve, we were ahead of schedule. She was having people over for the first time in ages to come play games and have appetizers. But that's just the first step, because now that she's allowing people in her home, she's allowing her heart to open up because she'd like to meet someone. And now she's taking better self-care to lose weight. And it's, you know, that's why I named my business Healing Through Organization, because it really can heal and transform your lives. But, you know, as you've mentioned, it's going within is where it starts.
I find that people will be tripping over their own stuff, tripping mm-hmm. over boxes, and have little teeny paths to go from one room to another. And then they wonder why they don't have more choices in life.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody clean it up. clear it up. I'm looking at cutting down my personal possessions, my personal, not my utilitarian, not my house's possessions, to 200.
That's fantastic.
And my psychic mind's always thinking, does the jewelry in the safety deposit box count? You know, I can hear my mind rationalizing already. We're going to count this, or how are we going to get accounting out of that? And I'm watching it, and I'm watching myself go through this and just laughing, because it's amazing how, you know, you'll try to intellectualize yourself out of something that you can see has benefit for you.
Mm-hmm.
So take a deep breath. Okay, and tell me, what is your website?
It is, well, I'd like to, for the show, it's reawakenyourbrilliance.com, and that's just how it sounds. And then the organizing website is healingorganization.com. I've got lots of good information on both. To check it out. I've done some videos, and all my shows, interviews are archived, and I have a YouTube channel and upload all the interviews there as well. They're in a couple places and on the website. So lots of great information for people on a variety of topics.
Great. Everybody get there and bookmark it and go visit it later on. So I would like to take a look at deep healing. Like you said, you were date raped, and you said you've done some healing on that, and
mm-hmm.
my background is sexual abuse and healing sexual abuse. How hard is it, how tough is it for women to really reach inside and work on that stuff?
You know what, I think I would call it a journey. It's really interesting because I've talked about this, and I never judge anyone where they are, and I think you have to have a process. And I just went through an interesting thing not too long about being able to forgive. And for a long, long time I couldn't, and I was doing an interview, and the woman said to me, I just can't forgive. And I said, you know what, that's your decision, and that's fine. I couldn't move forward unless I did forgive. And so I think, one, you need to just accept and celebrate and honor wherever you are on the journey. I think you need to fully feel your emotions. I think that's important. But I think you can't be like a scab that you keep picking. And at some point, you have to move forward and you have to forgive. I mean, that's what I would suggest. You never have to do anything. But in every moment, we have a choice. And are you going to choose to do something positive and move forward or not? I mean, I was just thinking about this the other day on Facebook. You know, we're all on Facebook or Twitter or on social media. And I think to myself, you know, do people really think about what they post? And I just thought, I think there's some people who just want to be miserable. And, you know, you gain something from that. And, you know, whatever it is for someone, it's personal. But by being negative and never moving forward, you know, then people don't want to be around that. So, again,
well,
I think
you separate from other people. And if you're a victim, you don't have to work on your stuff.
Yes, thank you. Much better said. Yes, exactly. And so I think that it honor where you are, but take steps to move forward. And that's one of the reasons why I do the show. Maybe it's a healing with you, Star. Maybe it's reading a book, Radical Forgiveness, that has that light bulb moment for you. Maybe it is hiring an organizer to start clearing the clutter so then you can deal with the emotions of what happened to you. Whatever it is, find that and take that first step and do something.
It's all going to be different for everybody. You don't have to forget, but you have to forgive. Yeah, and I'm just noticing that, you know, also, you know, on my Facebook, it's like, if it's rainy, they want in the sunshine. If it's sunshiny, oh, my God, why isn't it raining? And, you know, having 5,000 friends, you know, after a while, I just see people with the same old war stories. And a war story is about how you got your scars and how you got your wounds. I don't want war stories in my life. What I really want in my life is the people who said, oh, my God, I had this wound, and here's 6 steps I used to get over it, and here's 7 things I meditated on, and here's 10 affirmations I used. And, you know, it's really interesting to, as I you know, take people off viewing their post. You know, it's really interesting to notice how many of these people over and over again, what they have to say is non-healing to me. It's not insightful to me. I don't care if you had a tuna sandwich and it was good, but if you had a major breakthrough today, talk to me. Okay, you made this beautiful chocolate gluten-free cake. Okay, great. I want that picture on there because that's your first gluten-free thing that looked good. But I don't want war stories. I don't want you complaining about life and not suggesting how to heal it. And if you're going to have a problem, state your problem, but state three possible solutions so I can chime in there and say, well, this worked really well for me, and this would work really well for you. Yeah? And I agree that sometimes we're just so into it that we can't even see that all we're doing is repeating the story over and over again. And pay attention to what you say. And pay attention because words anchor into your reality. You know, thoughts create your reality. Words anchor into your reality. And do you want to have those prayers go out? And people say to me, well, you know, I didn't pray for that. And you have to remember that every thought is a prayer. So whether you say it out loud, whether you kneel down, every thought is a prayer. So, you know, healing is very, very personal. And you can get many, many maps from many different people. Yet, notice what you're saying. Notice what you're writing. And act on it. Act on whatever your healing needs to be.
And if you can't, sometimes you can't see it yourself. And so if there's someone that you trust to ask for feedback, whether that's a coach, whether that's a healer, whether that's your best friend, because sometimes we aren't aware of it. I'll never forget my baby brother said to me once, he's like, you see yourself as a victim. And it stopped me in my tracks. And at first I started to protest, and then I thought about it. And I was like, wow, he's right. But that got me onto the, okay, he's right, but what do I feel like I'm a victim about? And to start the healing process. So sometimes we're so caught up in it, we can't even see it. So if there's, I'd say to your listeners, if there's someone out there you trust, take that step, again, with someone who's gentle and non-judgmental who will be able to help you with that because maybe they don't see it, but then you can move forward.
Yeah, but that's why we have teachers. That's why I've always had teachers because they can tell me when I'm caught in my stuff. You can have masters that you never talk to, and you can worship Buddha, and you can worship Jesus, and you can have all these wonderful masters, but really what all of us need is somebody say, hey, Star, that wasn't very spiritual of you, or hey, Star, do you, you know, realize this? My husband, God bless him, he's such a master teacher. We have little showcases here where we sell things. And I looked in there and I go, oh, my God, that's my necklace. And he says, well, you teach in your class, if you haven't used it for a year, then you need to sell it, get rid of it, or gift it. And I'm like, oh, my God, he's making me, he's showing me that I'm not following my own teachings. And now and then again, I look into their little display cases, and there's a piece of my jewelry. There's a piece of something of mine, a little altar piece that's been off the altar. And there it is for sale. And I'm like, wow, that's really, really powerful of my husband to do that, to remind me to follow my own teachings. You know, because sometimes you can get so caught up in your teachings that you're teaching and not doing.
Mm-hmm. I love books, Star, and I am usually every July I go through everything I own in my entire home. And so I got married this past September and told my husband, I said, you get a pass till July. Well, he got kind of a little bug, which I was super excited about, and started going through our office. And I said, well, gosh, I'm just going to do it too. And so I was like, oh, I love this book, but I was like, okay, it's just hanging out on the shelf. And so what I'm going to do is find a good home for all these spiritual books, where it can help someone. I just don't want to, would never throw anything like that out. But I'm like, I'm really going to take the time to find people that are going to benefit from that. And that brings me joy, and that allows me to let it go much more easily. And like the things that were on your altar that weren't there anymore, that's going to bring someone joy that's going to get use out of it.
Yeah, all people love that, gifts from their teacher. Okay, we're coming up to our half-hour break here, and we're just going to take a deep breath and breathe.
You're listening to Stargazing with Star Fuentes. Star Fuentes is a master intuitive healer and spiritual teacher and has been a pioneering student of metaphysics for over 50 years. She has learned lifetimes of priceless information from her years of seeking out and living with indigenous healers and shamans around the world. Visit her website at www.starfuentes.com and then join her here every Wednesday night on Spiritual Connections Radio as she shares her knowledge with you. Once again, Star Fuentes.
Our number is 646-716-9663. Call us. Get a confirmation. Ask a question. Get some input. Get some solutions. So, how do you like doing the TV show at the same time as recording it? Does that work well for you?
Yes. Yeah, so far so good.
I think that that's, I do stage it, which is, you know, it's that. It's a recording, and it's me talking, and I like that. I do it for 45 minutes at a time. I'll start back with that, and I think sometimes even just seeing a person can change the download, can change the facts that you are getting. But I also really love the radio show. Julie, have you written a book yet?
I have not written a book yet. You and I had a conversation, Star, and I'm in the process of working on that. So it is on the to-do list and in progress list.
Good. That's good. Sometimes, you know, the book can get places to where you can't. So that's good. So what do you think about 2014? What do you think this year feels like to you? What do you think's going to, how is the energy going to flow?
For me or for everyone?
For everyone.
For everyone. I really see this as, again, I'm not at a level of you are where you are. I can just tell you from my own personal journey and observations. I believe the truth is going to continue to come out. And what I mean by that, for example, you know, when the child abuse scandal that came out of the Catholic Church and the Vatican and you know, Pope Francis is like, all right, we're going to reveal our records and things like that. So I see that globally. People that have hidden the truth, it's now going to come to light. I see a raising of consciousness. I see people who I would say who perhaps aren't traditionally might see what your work is doing as strange, people as I interview perhaps the work of the devil. I feel people like that opening up more and wanting to learn more. I see kind of shifts more away from kind of the third dimension physical world into the more spiritual worlds.
Well, that's good. So I believe that there's going to be a lot of drama this year. And drama happens when anything unlike light is being ejected out of the system. So, for example, if you have something you believe in that is egotistical or erroneous, usually somebody has to have a lot of drama to get it out of their system. So the government will have drama this year. People will have drama this year. We will have lots of gossip, lots of things, and we will get closer and closer to being filled with more light. You know, people say eventually this will happen and that will happen. Please remember that an event usually has to happen to create the space. I want to remind people that last year's highest light may be this year's lowest light, and that something that you honored and loved and filled you with brilliance last year maybe the thing you have to let go of this year, because there will be so many more higher vibrations of light coming in. the government as we see it, the politicians as we see it, are great teachers of how not to be. Pay attention when you look at the TV, when you look at the newspaper, and you start judging, because there's a piece of you that needs to learn how not to be that way. And I usually say that it's like a funhouse mirror. You may have 1% greed, and you see somebody in the newspaper who has 88% greed, and you're judging them. And really, everything that happens in the media, everything that collectively happens here in the United States is a blesson. And that's a combination of a blessing and a lesson. A lesson. Blesson, okay? And it's how you take it. But everything happens out there to remind us to be impeccable with our words, our heart, our mind, ourselves, so that we can walk fully into this higher vibration this year. And I agree with you. You said, you know, the truth's going to keep coming out. And when the truth will come out, but what I see more different this year is that people will be accountable for it. Like the church was finally accountable for all those things before they just hit it. And for you listeners out there, when you make a mistake, when you do something wrong, when you had erroneous belief systems, you know, you could have believed that a grapefruit was the best fruit of the year, and this year it's going to be mango. We have that. Ready? Are we ready for a call? I thought I heard my engineer there.
Yeah, hold on. We're going to bring on Matthew. Matthew, you're on the air.
Hi. Happy New Year, Star.
Happy New Year, Matthew. How are you, darling?
I'm really, really good, and I'm looking forward to 2014 as could be a really spectacular year. I wanted to actually, you and your guests, if they had any, like, simple rules to keep in mind as you work through clutter. As you know, Star, we are actually doing it, and I feel like, you know, a lot of times the attachment to the things and the stories behind it, we throw some things out and more we're moving the clutter around. And I want to just keep
Julie,
you know,
why don't you answer
turning
that?
Turning it over.
Okay. Hey, Matthew. First of all, Happy New Year. You make a really great point, but I want you to explain something. When you say do you feel like you've thrown out things that are important but left kind of clutter and junk behind?
I don't think we've thrown out anything important. I'm in a relationship, and there's a codependency thing that we're working through on this that we're hitting, but the being able to actually let something go, and, you know, something that you, you know, there's a story about how it came to you and it is lovely or important or something, and how do you move those things out of the house because you don't have room?
Okay, great point. When people do that, and tons of people do this, and what you've done is, say it's a T-shirt maybe from a rock concert that you all went to together, you still have that memory, and you still have that feeling in your heart of love and excitement or whatever it is, and what people do is they put that memory and those feelings onto the object. That's like they transfer it. But the object doesn't hold any of that. You still have the memory. You still have the feeling that that night created. And what I say to people is, again, as I mentioned earlier, do you love it? Do you need it? Do you use it? If you or someone that goes to a lot of rock concerts, take all those T-shirts and have someone make a quilt. you know, so you have the memories, and it's something that there's a quilt that, you know, you're going to use in the winter if you live somewhere where it's cold enough to need a quilt. Or, you know, it's about paring down, or maybe you do a shadow box of it. But it's about really keeping, when you walk into that room, if there's a bunch of it, it stresses you out, you're overwhelmed. But if you have, you know, just a few things, then that evokes the memory and brings you happiness or joy or whatever it was. Does that help?
That helps, yeah. And any other,
well,
find a way to keep
I would
the...
look around, and I would say I want to keep one out of 50 objects, and I'd put 50 objects out there, and I'd say, which one do I want to keep? Or one out of whatever number you decide, but it can't be one out of, you know, two, but one out of a number. And line them up there and give priority to one thing, and the rest go out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so choose a number, keep working with that. And, you know, even when you're down to the end, you'll be choosing from some of the things that were the winners later. But do that. You know, what is the priority here?
And I have to say,
Matt, and Happy New Year to your significant other. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Matthew.
All right, Steve. Steve, you're on there.
Hey, Matt. Hey, Matt. Hey, Star. How's it going?
Pretty good, Stig. We're doing great here. Happy New Year to you, and I hope
Happy
you have a beautiful Christmas.
Well, we're all working through our clutter. I'm doing a lot of it. We get rid of a lot of stuff, and then we see other stuff, and we're doing it clump by clump. It's more than bit by bit. And 2013 was really instrumental for me because nothing happened. And so I went back to acting class because I just had to. And I got critiques of my work that I never expected. Last time we had class, which was the middle of December, we watched a major movie star, it was Colin Farrell, his screen test for a part. And Matthew, my teacher, not Matt, my boyfriend, said, you see what he does? That's what makes him special. And he turned to the class and said, Steve does that too. And it was like, it changed my whole identity. Well, I found out who I am. It was a big, big, big personal breakthrough for me. So
also, I want you to do a little fast. And I want you to fast, not to bring anything new into the house. You know, it's like no more tchotchkes, no more little crystals, no more books. Do a little fast from bringing anything home, the both of you.
Okay.
I know there'll be a lot of resistance to that, but it'd be really important for you guys to realize how much stuff you bring home in a month, you know?
That would actually be great. That would, That would be great, actually. That's, wow. Any word on what's going to happen with my career in 2014 now that I've sort of made a big leap in my personal growth?
I believe you'll be hotter than ever.
Wow. Wow.
All right. Thank you, sweetie.
Thank you both. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
And Julie, can you tell me what your website is?
It is reawakenyourbrilliance.com and healingorganization.com.
Yeah, and you know, I notice sometimes for people they can't clear the clutter up, but they can when they realize how much stuff they bring home in a month, or how many, you know, those buys you buy while you're standing in line to check out, those spontaneous purchases, and the extra magazines. And I have a friend, she takes a magazine, and she has one magazine. When she's done reading it, she takes it, throws it away, recycles it, and then she buys another. She won't allow more than one magazine in her house. And I thought that was a very interesting way to control her having, you know, she had 16 stacks of magazines she was going to get to. But by the time she went to get to them, they were out of date. but she was going to keep
right.
it anyway, you know, because she might
What
be
I a- suggest, yeah, to people is if the new issue comes and you haven't read the old issue, recycle it. And I'm also a big believer, I have resources on my healingorganization.com website, get off a junk mail list. The amount of time that people spend dealing with junk mail, that's something that can get stop it before it even enters your home.
Yeah, and it's a lot of waste of paper, too, you
mm-hmm.
know.
Absolutely.
You know, go online and tell them you don't want to receive a catalog anymore, you know. Take care
Absolutely.
Of it. Absolutely. Take care of it. Take a deep breath now. Take a deep breath. And just breathe in the new year and let go of everything that bothered you, that irritated you last year. And breathe in what you need to take care of, what you need to be this year. Good. Great. Now, take a deep look at yourself. Feel yourself. Sense yourself. What is it that you need to work on? Not what do you want to work on. What is it that you need to work on this year? Good. So, you know, that need want stuff. You know, people come to me and say, Star, I want to lose 100 pounds. And I go, well, we need to work on your sexual abuse. Or, you know, sometimes what you really think you need to work on, there's a core issue, original cause underneath it. Get some input. Go to your therapist. Go to your coach. Go to your teacher. Get some input of what to work on this year. You probably have a very, very good map, everybody, of what you want to work on. And your teacher, your coach, has gone through thousands of maps. So information is your friend. Wisdom is your guide. You don't need to go through things that other people went through before just to see. And talk to people. Get feedback. Feedback is important. So I saw you had Judy Satori on from, is she from New Zealand or Australia?
She is now in the U.S.
Great. She's a good friend of mine. And how you guys worked on DNA work?
We talked about, yeah, her book, Sunshine Before the Dawn. We talked about DNA, and then I had her on in September. And we're going to have her definitely on again because we've had some technical issues when we've had her on. So awakening, ascension, consciousness, all that good stuff.
Yeah, so there's some very powerful teachers out there. So take a deep breath. I want to talk tonight a little bit about universal laws. And people keep coming to me and saying, oh, my God, Star, I bought 10 books on the law of attraction, and I've done everything the book said, and I still can't get what I want. I'm still not manifesting. And it works kind of this way, people. There's the physical plane laws, like gravity and centrifugal force and all that kind of stuff. Those rules, 99.9% of the time, will always rule you. The universal laws are only superseded by your inner law. And if your inner law is lack, I don't care how much you work on the law of attraction. What you will attract is proof that your law, your inner law of lack, is the best law for you to live your life by. There are about 10 or 12 personal laws that each have a polarity of them, you know, like the lack law where there's never enough, and then there's the cat lady with 27 cats eating cat food because her Social Security check only can pay for cat food, and she's got this polarity of the lack law, which says, oh, there's always enough, and she'll give her shirt off her back. So if you really want to manifest what you desire this year. You have to work. You have to discern to get some information from other people. What law is ruling your life? What kind of belief system have you made such a big law that it overrules anything? You know, if we look at self-esteem and we look at people who have the law that they're never good enough, they're never going to amount to anything, or the people who have, I'm better than everybody, I should get this just because I live and breathe, that law will supersede the law of attraction. If you sense conditional and unconditional, many people have conditions. I'll do this if I get this and that. I'll be this. And they try to negotiate with God and everybody else. And then there are so many people who are so unconditional that whatever they have to manifest gets spread out to the wind. One of the other inner laws we could look at is the law of no receiving and no giving. How many times have I complimented somebody on something, a dress or something? Oh, this whole thing, and they can't receive anything. And the people who cannot give to other people. But then again, there's people who can only give to other people. What is your inner law? How do you change this so that the universal laws function for you? What about the drama, the law of drama and the law of the peacemaker? You always got to have to create drama so you get those endorphins to run. Oh, he did, she said, we said, they did. Oh, my God, if only the government had this. And what about the peacemaker? Always making peace, making sure mom and dad and the family don't argue, making sure the neighbors don't argue, where they lose themselves. I want you to look at the inner law of being right. And how many people have to be right and they die of cancer because they're right? Or how many people say their inner law is, I don't know anything. I'm confused. I look at people and I'm looking at their inner laws and looking at, oh, don't change anything. I want everything the way it is. Change scares me. And other people who are changing something before you even get the sentence out of your mouth. Well, don't let anything be the same. I'm telling somebody, here's an exercise. I want you to do A, B, C, and D. And they're saying to me, but Star, I want to do C, A, B, and D. And they haven't even done it yet. Now we have people who simplify everything and people who complicate everything. Your inner law is exactly how you will see life, exactly how you will manifest life. The 105 universal laws run the universe. They run the planes. They run every relationships, connection to God, everything. The only thing that supersedes them is your personal inner law. What is your inner law? And how do you change it? So what do you think about those inner laws, Julie?
Well, I'm laughing, Star, because I'm like, I've been there, done that. Oh, maybe that's a little message for me tonight from the universe. I think you're absolutely right.
Well, you know, we all try to get the frosting. And it's the frosting be the law of attraction, where, you know, we got a cake to put it on. Or, you know, we all try to say, how can I get around working on my staff? And really, really, you can't. There are shortcuts. There are lots of different ways to do things. But eventually your staff will come up and bite you in the, never mind. But you know what I mean. And so I want people to look, feel, sense, what is their inner law, and what are they creating in their reality that overrides the law of attraction, that overrides all 105 universal laws? And if you don't know the 105 universal laws, read them, for God's sakes. That's how the universe runs. You know to stop at a stop sign. You know what a speed limit is. You know how to go through life in a car. How do you go through life, a soul and a body? So look at those universal laws and discern what is going on inside of you to that is so much stronger than in any of these universal laws. So take a deep breath. And Julie, tell me, where can I find you and what do you do?
HealingOrganization.com and ReawakenYourBrilliance.com. I do a couple things. I do professional organizing for the home and office. I can physically do that in the Raleigh, North Carolina area. And I also do clutter coaching, life coaching, and mentoring and help people via Skype or phone if to kind of get to the root of what's going on with their clutter. I also do public speaking and presentations, and I will do that anywhere and love and enjoy that, and then also do online classes, and you can find out more about that at reawakenyourbrilliance.com. On February 4th, we have a class on how to consciously parent. I believe if we all have our children, raising them differently, we'd live in a much different and better world, and the other online classes that I have done will be up soon, but lots of good stuff with body, mind, spirit panel experts to help you change your life and move forward.
And it's always great to listen to somebody else's voice, to listen to their experience, because all of us receive wisdom from people. So get an education, get a spiritual education, get a mental, emotional education. Pay attention. Read as many books as you can. Listen to as many teachers as you can. And take everything with a grain of salt and listen to what your intuition says. It's really important. It's really important to do that. I have a bunch of things coming up this year. You'll be able to find them next week on my calendar at starfuentes.com. I'm doing webinars. I'm doing Stage It. I do this lovely radio show. I am having a 75th birthday party on January 19th in Hot Springs, Arkansas, and people are coming from all over the world to celebrate my birthday with me. And that should be a lot of fun, and meeting new people always is interesting, and reconnecting with the old. So, Julie, are there any spiritual advice, any spiritual lessons you learned this lifetime that you want to share with us in these last 2 or 3 minutes?
Go within. If you don't like something on the outside, go within. And you were talking earlier about how you have to do the work. I can't emphasize that enough. And if you just start with self-examination, I got married this past September to the most wonderful man for me ever, but it's because I did all the inner work. I'd be like, why can't I find someone? Why can't I find someone? Did the inner work and found someone. And I'm much happier than I ever imagined. So go within.
I think it's important to be conscious, to observe yourself. Those little looks on somebody's face when you say something that's out of tune, out of harmony with who you are, the comments that strangers make to you, because they don't have an investment in what they say to you. Pay attention. Look around you right now. That is the inside of your heart. That is the inside of your mind. Pay attention on how you nourish yourself. What does your kitchen look like? How often do you take out your garbage? Because it's the same thing outside as inside. Pay attention.
On behalf of Spiritual Connections Radio, thank you for listening to Stargazing with Star Fuentes. Please join us again next week for another enlivening episode. For more information on Star's classes or services, visit her website at www.starfuentes.com or call the office at 501-609-0660. That's 501-609-0660.